Welcome to Press Any Button, where we have many buttons and we press them.
All the time.
That's what we do at this podcast.
Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop. That's me pressing the buttons.
You're really good at that.
Thanks.
All right. I'm Eric.
And I'm Nikki.
And today we're talking about Stray. Stray is a 2022 adventure video game developed by Blue 12 Studio and published by Annapurna Interactive. The story follows a stray cat who falls into a walled city populated by robots, machines, and mutant bacteria, and sets out to return to the surface with the help of a drone companion called B-12. Spoiler warning, as minimalist as the story comes across at first, there are definitely some spoilers in this game, and we will be talking about them.
Yeah.
So, be warned.
Warning. So, Eric.
Yeah?
I've got all the knowledge of a wise cat. Are you ready to hear about the history and making of Stray?
I am. Let's get into it.
All right. So this game came out this year, 2022. When do you think they started making this game?
That's a good question. It came
like
out.
How long do you think it would take someone to make this game?
I'm going
to
say it took them a good 2 years.
2 years. Wow. So development actually began for Stray in 2015.
Wow. I was way off.
Led by... And forgive me if I butcher these names, but I think they're French. And so I'm going to try my best. The game Stray was led by founders Colas Kula and Vivian Marmont-Goyenet. And so I'm going to call them Colas and Viv because that's what people refer to them online as. So I guess it's like a nickname that they have together. But those two people are the Blue 12 Studio founders.
Okay.
They wanted to pursue an independent project after working at Ubisoft Montpellier. So originally, do you want to take any guesses as to like what the game was known as when they started, like before they came up with an official title? You know how like studios will give their games like a code name or just like a stand-in name until they figure out the real title?
I'm going to say the cat, but in French, it would be like un gâteau or un cat. What's the French word for cat?
Gâteau is Spanish for cat. I don't know if it's French. Sometimes words do overlap, but I only took one French class in college a really long time ago. I don't even remember
anything. I'll just say un cat.
So the game was originally known as the HK Project. Yeah, you never would have guessed that. I just wanted to hear you come up with something funny. All right. So, Colas and Viv, they actually maintained a pretty thorough blog while they were creating this game. And I guess they wanted to document, you know, the process. And then one day, back in April 2016, they ended up sharing some visual scenes of the game on Twitter. So not even like demo of the game. This was just kind of like just some visual scenes.
Like a video.
Yeah. Okay. Of kind of what they were thinking. And Annapurna Interactive actually reached out to them after seeing that on Twitter, April 2016, to publish the project. So like, how cool is that? You're just like doing your thing, making your indie project. You're like, oh, let me throw some things out on Twitter. You don't know what's going to stick in Twitter. It's like a billion things going on all at once. And you actually get contacted by a studio or a company that wants to publish your game. Like, how cool is that?
Okay, so this is... So they weren't, like, helping them directly make the game, or...
Not at that point.
Okay.
No. So, actually, at the time, when Annapurna Interactive reached out to them, and when they made the deal with Blue 12 Studios... For Stray, they actually had not published any games yet. So Annapurna is very new.
So they were looking for anything to publish probably at that point.
I guess so. Anything that they thought was cool or looked good or maybe something that fit with their brand or what they were shooting for.
Okay, so I wonder at that point who's helping who.
Well, good question, because while they did assist Blue 12 Studios and they did provide some feedback, they mostly left all the creative decisions up to Kulaz and Viv.
Okay, so yeah, they're not really getting involved other than like probably asking, hey, when do you want to publish that game that you agreed to publish?
And maybe it says they provided some feedback, so maybe they like got to play the game first and gave some feedback in that way, or maybe they saw some of the art or some of the characters.
Yeah, maybe they were doing the QA testing or something.
Yeah. So funding for the game was actually confirmed in April 2017. Between the time they reached out and then the time that the funding was actually confirmed, it was a year.
So
I don't really know what the process of like a collab like that is or working with another company like that is.
So who was?
But it took them a year.
So who was providing the funding?
Annapurna Interactive.
Oh, okay. So they weren't just publishing it. They were also funding the development of the game. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So Stray was heavily influenced aesthetically by Kowloon Walled City, which, do you know what that is?
No.
Kowloon Walled City was a densely populated, undergoverned settlement in Kowloon, which is an area north of Hong Kong Island. And if you look at pictures of it, it looks like an apartment sort of building block. It looks like the buildings in the city, just a lot of different like balconies and windows, but it's basically like one big block of city, I guess.
Okay.
Like there's no outside of the city. It looks like it's just one big building and that's the city, in quotes.
Okay. That's cool.
So if you look up pictures of it, actually, I guess I can show you if you'd like to look real quick.
So it's, you said it's a walled city or is it just influenced by the walled city?
Well, this is an actual walled city that exists.
Okay, yeah, so it's
and like, it's basically like one big giant apartment building that's big enough to be like a city.
So the buildings themselves act as a wall, okay.
Yes, and but there's no outside, like in the middle. You know, like this is not just a wall of building. It's one big chunk of building. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like if you look at it from above, like there's no outdoor areas. There's no place. There's no parks or anything like that.
So buildings just lead into one another.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So obviously, like looking at that, you can see like they gained a lot of inspiration from that city for the design of their city in the game.
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
So I think it's kind of cool that they drew from a real life city. I mean, I don't know how happy those people were. It doesn't really look like the best living conditions, but why not draw inspiration from something in real life? You know, people do that all the time. So I think that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
As they were designing the city, they found that it was the perfect playground for a cat due to the various paths and views that you have when you're playing as a cat. You know, you're tiny. You're probably like, what, 1 foot off the ground? I'm thinking of Dr. Doom. He's about 1 foot tall, right? So you gotta think of everything from that perspective. Also, cats can jump places humans can't. They can fit places humans can't. So that opens up a variety of options for gameplay and stuff like that.
There's also probably plenty of mice. In a city like that, I gotta imagine they would have some real pest problems.
Yeah, I hate rats. Anyways, gameplay as a cat led to interesting level design opportunities, particularly regarding the platforming and the puzzle elements. I think anytime you can do something not as a human, there's a lot of opportunity there to like just be super creative.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm trying to think of other great platformers that aren't human based.
But usually even when you are playing as an animal, it's like, what's the word?
Anthropomorphic.
Yeah. Like think of Sonic. He doesn't walk around like a hedgehog. You're not playing Sonic as a real-life hedgehog. That would be interesting, though. Because hedgehogs walk on all fours. They're not that fast, you know? What? Obviously, like...
They're not super fast? I always thought they were, based on Sonic. Why would they
My roommate used to have a pet hedgehog, and I never saw it run around, ever. So...
Maybe just that one was particularly lazy.
Maybe. Like in Crash Bandicoot, you play as a bandicoot, but you're still running around on two legs like a human. So I'm like, there's not that many games where you play as the animal. That's like the true form of the animal,
yeah,
I guess.
Banjo-Kazooie, you're walking around like a human.
If you could
Sonic, like, you're walking around like a human.
If you're listening to this and you can think of any, let us know if we aren't thinking of some cool animal games. Like, I would like to kind of play some more. So to say all that, the development team actually like encountered some artistic and technical challenges in balancing interesting gameplay with like an open world environment, as items are typically decorative in other games, such as pipes and air conditioning units, stuff like that. Those are like actually explorable paths in Stray. So I guess it was like challenges, you know, balancing all those things while being a cat or while playing as a cat. What do you think would be like the hardest thing to think about if you're trying to make a game as a cat?
Picking your cat.
Like picking which cat you're going to make it look like?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There are lots of cats.
You think that would be the most difficult part?
Yeah. It's the whole coming up with a good title for like a movie, a game, an album. I feel like that's always the hardest part.
Okay. Not really what I was expecting. I thought you'd be like, oh, trying to figure out like what things look like from 1 foot off the ground, or like,
I mean, that's
can
not
a
hard.
Cat actually you, jump like that, or I don't know.
You just move your camera down. So did they actually like get a cat and like little, like attach to like little electrodes to it so they could like map out and model it?
I will tell you about that later, actually.
Okay, cool.
In the fun facts section. So stay tuned. All right. So anyways, Stray was announced on June 11th, 2020 at PlayStation's Future of Gaming event. And then it was finally released July 19th, 2022 for PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, and Windows.
Cool. So it was only 2 years from when it was announced.
Yes. I read an article and they were talking about how once they released like the initial trailer and they kind of announced the game, like it got such good feedback and like everyone was so excited about it that they kind of like felt more pressure to like make sure the game was really good. So I don't know if that had anything to do with like how long it took them to make it or anything, but I know it was important to them like not to let like everyone down that was excited about the game.
Yeah, I mean, if you have that kind of attention on you, the last thing you want to do is like hit a flat or
oh yeah. Especially know. For your company's sake. For both companies' sake, the publisher and the creator. So are you ready for some fun facts?
Yeah, let's do some fun facts.
All right. So you asked about this earlier, and I'm going to tell you.
I'm excited.
The gameplay experience was specifically inspired by the founder's cats, Murtaugh and Riggs, and the studio's in-house cats, Oscar and Jun. Murtaugh, a former stray cat, was found under a car. He's the primary inspiration for the game's protagonist, while Oscar, a hairless sphinx, provided effective reference for animation.
Cool. So they were based on real cats.
Yes.
And I guess they had real cats for reference.
Yes. Apparently 80% of the people that made this game had cats. And so it's just like a team of cat lovers. And so I'm sure these weren't the only cats that people gained inspiration from.
And I assume the remaining 20% just simply tolerated cats.
I don't know. The article didn't mention those people because they don't matter. I would assume if you're working on this game, it would kind of suck if you hated cats.
It's like, ugh, I hate this.
I have to work with this ugly cat animation all day. It's doing gross things like purring. Ugh.
It's exactly what they would probably be saying.
But I love that they have in-studio cats as well. So I want more places to have, like, work cats. You know, they always have, like, bring your dogs to work and stuff. They just need to have more companies. They need to have an office cat is what I think.
Oh, then they're going to clash with the bring your dog to work people.
Ugh, I know, right? Yeah. Anyways, fun fact number two. The sequence in which the player can kill the Zerks was seen as revenge by Kula and Viv for a bed bug invasion that they underwent. So basically, yeah, they got, you know, bed bug situation happening in their apartment or their house. And this scene was seen as a way to, I guess, be therapeutic and like, pretend they're getting rid of their bed bugs by creating these Zerks that, you know, you can kill in the game.
I can't imagine, like, it would be nice to just be able to shine a light on the bugs and have them die.
Yeah.
Because I hear, like, getting rid of bed bugs can be, like, a real pain.
Me too. So, yeah, I'm sure shining a light on them. If only it was that easy.
I mean, maybe that is how you get rid of them. I don't know.
I don't know either. I doubt it's that easy.
If you're listening and you know how to get rid of bed bugs, could you please comment?
I'm sure we could look it up if we really wanted to know.
No, that's easier.
Anyway, fun fact number three. There's a Twitter account called Cats Watch Stray.
Now, I think I have seen some of this. I know when it initially released, like people were releasing like animal, like recording their animals and like it reacting to the video game.
Specifically their cats watching the cat on the screen.
Okay.
Yes. So Cats Watch Stray is a Twitter account that has over 32,000 followers, which is exactly what it sounds like. Cats watching people play Stray.
You say our cat, Dr. Doom, was slightly interested for a while?
For like 2 seconds.
Okay.
He was interested in the meows coming from the controllers. And then after he realized it was not a real cat anywhere, he fell asleep.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Fun fact number four. Another cat in the game's credits is Lala. She's a gray kitty who worked as the voice actor. It seems she recorded mostly meows and purrs, voicing not just the main character, but the cats from the beginning of the game as well.
What?
Yeah.
They didn't have separate voice cat actors for that?
Just one kitty voice that whole time.
Well, that is a talented cat voice actor.
Yes.
They can do all those different cat voices.
Yeah. Good job, Lala. She got lots of treats. She was paid in treats.
Oh, that's
sweet.
Is
what I read. Treats good. And pets, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right. So, Eric, that's all the fun facts I have for today.
Oh.
Aw. Do you want to talk about the story a little bit?
Yeah.
So we'll try not to give a, well, no, we're going to do spoilers. We already did a warning. So if you don't want the spoilers, maybe just, you know, don't listen to this part.
There you go.
So yeah, like you said earlier, maybe on the surface, the story seems kind of simple, but I think as you play the game, there's just a lot more to it. And there's also a lot to be like interpreted by you as
That's true. Yeah. So yeah, you start off, you get separated from your cat family and you fall into this walled city. And basically the whole plot is you're trying to get back. It's like Homeward Bound.
But you're alone. You don't have friends. Well,
You know,
kind of do, but not animal friends.
Yeah. So as you work your way through the game, the story gets fleshed out a bit. You find a little floating robot named B12 that basically becomes your helper.
Your companion bot.
Yeah, almost like the cat's pet.
Yeah, and he allows you to like interact with technology more and like do stuff like a typical cat wouldn't be able to do.
Yeah. Through B12 and kind of as the story progresses, you learn that the humans are basically dead, extinct at this point.
Mm-hmm.
The only beings that you really find in the city that you can interact with are like the leftover robots from the human civilization that have become kind of sentient or and are kind of like acting like humans in a weird way.
Yeah, for sure.
Kind
of
copying.
I mean, they have bars and yeah, all kinds of stuff. Very much humanish.
Kind of copying their mannerisms, but like not quite.
Yeah.
So yeah, you find a few robots that also want to get out of the Walled City. And they kind of end up helping you in your journey to get out of the Walled City, since that is your goal, to get back to your cat family.
Exactly. And they don't really know anyone that's done this before, right? Who's... No one else has escaped the underground.
Yeah, no one's gotten out.
Yeah. But it's something that they want. And so I think they're hoping, like, if they help the cat do it and they can see how, if the cat is successful, they're, like, going to learn from the cat on how to get back up to the surface.
Yeah, the robots are sentient, but they're not, like, super smart, obviously. And as you go through the game, yeah, you learn B12 was once a human who uploaded his mind into the computer body as kind of the humans were dying off.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like where the memories come in.
Yeah.
Because every time he sees something, it'll bring back a memory, or it'll like bring back some information in his data that he wasn't able to recall before, or however that works.
Yeah. You know, he remembers things.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he's technically, I guess, the last human consciousness to exist as far as we know. Yeah, and then like you said, yeah, certain objects will trigger memories in B12, which is essentially how you get your story. The main story is basically B12 remembering stuff.
Yeah.
As we get towards the end of the game, we get to our big spoiler.
Bum, bum, bum.
They successfully make it out of the city.
They?
Okay, maybe just the cat.
Yeah. So you're allowed to leave, but B12 can't leave with you.
Yeah, it's really sad. Probably the saddest part of the game.
Yeah, I cried a little bit.
The last human dies, or the last bit of human consciousness dies. It's really sad, actually.
Yeah, so as your little cat self is allowed to leave, at the very end, you're last seen exiting back into the greenery of the lands of the outside city. So you kind of get to make up your own ending as to what happens after that. Like, obviously you would think that you would get back with your family, you know?
Yeah. And as you go back outside, like, the whole point of the city was to kind of protect the last few humans from basically the planet they had destroyed. So as you go back onto the planet, it looks like it's doing pretty fine at this point.
Yeah.
So yeah, it looks like everyone's going to be okay.
So I would assume that after the cat is free, that some of the robots decide to leave and they probably figure a way out into the world. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Do you think there are any other robots in the world besides those robots in the city?
I don't know. Maybe there's more walled cities like that all over the place. I can't imagine there would just be one. Like, yeah. If we were going to make walled cities to protect ourselves, they would probably be all over the place.
Yeah, maybe Stray 2 will be another waltz.
I don't know, but I like how the end leaves it up to you to kind of decide what happens next.
I think,
at least for now.
I hope for Stray 2 that they do a dog.
Oh.
Just because it would be different.
Yeah, that'd be fun too. So would you like to talk about some of the stuff that you like about the game, Eric?
Sure. So I felt like the way the game told its story is really good. It tells it through the robot characters and B12. It doesn't really get in the way of the gameplay, but it still has a pretty good message. Mostly, you know, it's a good message, but it's not in your face about the message. It leaves it largely up to you to kind of grasp it out of the game.
Yeah, I like that too. They like treat you as someone who is intelligent and not someone they have to spoon, you know, feed everything to.
Yeah, they're not like trying to preach to you, but they're saying, hey, don't destroy the environment and don't create a weird bacteria to clean up your garbage, because that will probably end in a disaster.
Obviously, the number one awesome thing about this is that you get to play as a cat. Like, I've always like, oh, it'd be so cool to just live the life of Dr. Doom for a day. Even though this isn't 100% true to cat nature, you would sleep a lot more. They would have mandatory naps if this was like true to real cats, but
well, the game does give you plenty of options to nap.
It does, but if it was real, like, you would have to nap. Cats sleep, what, like up to 20 hours a day?
Yeah, they'd be more mandatory naps.
Yeah.
So I felt the puzzly aspects of the game were pretty good.
Oh, that's what I had next, too. Fun puzzles.
It's not over the top hard, but still a challenge.
Yeah, it's mostly like talking to, you know, there's like a sequence of steps you have to do. Like you have to go talk to this robot and show them this thing in order to get to the next step to find the next robot that you need to talk to, or like, or get the next item that you need to get or whatever.
Yeah.
I like that there's not any humans in this game. I don't know, it's just like really unique, I think, to find a game that doesn't have any humans in it whatsoever.
That's so true. We do like, as a human, we do like to put ourselves into games.
Yeah. I think it's a creative idea, and like it's a unique game in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. So one of the things I liked was that the game has a chapter select, so you can go back and search for memories if you missed one. From a completionist perspective, I always appreciate when a game doesn't waste your time by making you replay the entire game just to like go back and get like one little thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you can go back to any chapter and like try to do all the things you want to do in that chapter.
Like complete challenges given to you by your wife.
Exactly.
And I do love, like, speaking of memories and stuff, I love B12 as the character, as a character, as a companion. He's almost like your cat's pet in a way.
Yeah.
But I think he brings like a whole other aspect of gameplay in. And also he's a cute little robot, and you really kind of like learn about the, I guess, the human whose memories he has throughout the game.
Yeah, definitely. I like the simple controls, and the platforming felt really smooth, like smoothly leap from platform to platform. That kind of stuff.
Yeah. I like that they let you do a lot of things that cats would do. Like, they let you interact with stuff and, like, knock things over. Like, at one point, there's these two robots playing a chess game, and it lets you jump up in their chess game and knock all their pieces around. They get all, like, mad at you and stuff.
Yeah, the game is pretty good at introducing elements that you can, like, gently pat something off of a high shelf or something.
Yeah, and you can also, like, rub up against, like, their little robot's legs and, like, show them love and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just little different touches, like cat touches that they did to make it feel, to make you feel like you're really playing as a cat.
Yeah, it was really the small details I felt like that added a lot to the game, like being able to claw up sofas and...
Yeah, I think stuff the like scratching that. Mechanic, like, they really used that DualSense controller, like, in a way that I haven't felt it be used before. Because, like, when you're the cat and you're scratching on a rug, the resistance of the triggers is, like, harder.
Yeah, they get a lot more resistant.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know, I think they did a really good job of, like, using the controller to its max ability. Because they also used the little speaker on the controller that you can make your cat meow at any time.
That's a plus and a negative for me, because sometimes it would meow and I'd be like, does Dr. Doom meow?
Oh, yeah. Because it is a real cat's meow.
It does sound very realistic.
What's something else do you like about the game, Eric?
So the ambience and background music is really good.
Yeah. The game is just really pretty. It looks... I mean, it's art.
Yeah,
truly.
It's as much of a piece of art as it is a video game.
Oh, yeah. And I just love video games that are beautiful to look at. I don't know. It's just like makes it so much more enjoyable. And it's just like cool to see all these different games use like different art styles and stuff. And I think the contrast of the neon lights and the underground and I don't know. It's just very like vibrant, I guess.
Yeah. So is there anything else you liked?
Yeah. I think the story is really balanced. Like, you have highs, you have lows. Like, you're sad some parts, you're happy. There's creepy parts, you know, like, there's action. Like, I just think they did a really good job of, like, making it a very well-rounded game.
Yeah, it's really something you don't really think about that much, because the cat really can't emote all that much, because they are, like, a very realistic-looking cat.
Yeah.
But yeah, you definitely have those kind of high and low elements within the game, within the story of the game, for sure.
Yeah. Because even though you are playing as a cat, obviously you're still human. So like the story, you know, like I cried a little bit when B12 like dies at the end. I mean, he's a robot, so he doesn't really die, but like I was like, no, not my friend. Like, now I'm gonna be alone again. Oh, it was like,
that is a really sad part.
It was so sad. Like, and then you walk off by yourself. And of course, you're in the game, you're a cat, so you're just like, what the fuck ever. I don't care. Like, this president trying to, like, well, whatever.
Yeah, the most unrealistic aspect of this game is when people ask the cat to do stuff and the cat doesn't, like, act like it doesn't give a shit and do something else.
Yeah, do opposite what they ask.
It's like, oh, go get the keys. No, like, stop licking yourself. Like, the cat knows what you want. It just doesn't care.
Oh, yeah. I think I read, like, there was a study done where they proved that that was correct. Like, the cat knows what you want it to do. It knows. And that's why they give you that look. And then they just walk the other way. I love cats. All right. So, is there anything that you didn't like so much about the game, Eric?
Not so much that I didn't really like, but just kind of wanted added that I thought would have been really helpful.
Okay.
So when I was in the slums, I kept getting turned around and like confused and lost.
Oh yeah, me too. I was like, which area is this?
Really wanted a mini map for that.
Yeah, me too.
I think
I mentioned that to you when I was playing it as well.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I kept getting turned around. I'm already bad with directions as is.
Yeah, so the slums are like, to me, you go through a couple other towns and stuff, but the slums are the most confusing because you have a lot of like vertical sections.
Yeah, it's probably the biggest area to explore too.
Yeah, and I think it's also the biggest one you explore.
And there's so many different like robots to talk to and all that.
Yeah, there are a lot of robots. There are a lot of names and you can get them kind of confused and like where the shops are and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I kind of understand why they didn't want to include it. I think maybe because it takes away from the artistic kind of thing they were doing. Or maybe it would have made the game a little bit too easy because it already is a pretty short game.
Yeah. And after some time, you do start to memorize it. So yeah, it's not like that complicated.
Yeah, you really do have to just take the time to explore to kind of get the city kind of memorized.
And there are signs everywhere too. Like if you stop and actually look at the signs that are posted, you can kind of like, I think, learn the map of the city a little bit better too.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm bad at doing that, so I'm just running around like a crazy cat.
What about you?
So there are some glitches in the game. I will say, like, I noticed certain camera angles, like, would cut through a wall or just little things like that. Like, just little, I mean,
you're
little bugs, I guess.
I don't think you can make a 3D game and not have the camera cut into a wall at some point.
Yeah, I guess. I just noticed it in certain parts. It was like a little glitchy looking, but not like ruin the game bad or anything.
Yeah,
I'm getting a little nitpicky because like there's not that many. Like overall, I think this game is really awesome. So
yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, another thing is like if you don't like seeing animals get hurt or anything, like you can get hurt in this game as the cat and you can die. Which is kind of sad.
That's true.
But you do always come back, so, like, it's not that sad. But, like, you do have to see the cat, like, kind of hobble around for, like, a second, and, like, that made me a little sad. Yeah. I don't like seeing hurt animals.
I gotcha.
But if that is something that would trigger you, like, or if that's something that you can't really take, like, then, you know, probably don't play this game.
Yeah, I agree with that. For me, I kind of wish meowing did more. I love that they dedicated a button just to meow, so you can meow as much as you want. But I kind of wish they had used it like for more puzzles or something.
Yeah, I feel like they just put that on there so people can mess with their cats.
Like you can use it to get the attention of the Zerk if you want them to chase you. Like
yeah,
the little tiny robots going around. But I kind of wish you could like use it to distract robots or maybe get them to like move something.
Wait, you think the Zerks are robots?
No, I wasn't saying they were robots.
Oh, okay.
I wish they could. You could get the robot, like the kind of the people living in the cities, to do stuff. Maybe.
Yeah.
Like maybe you could meow in a certain direction, and the robot would like open something for you.
Yeah, I was like, those Zerks definitely look organic. in some nature. But I don't know, there are some robots that look organic, so I mean, this is the future, so they could be robots, who knows. I think we talked about this, but like, we both kind of thought it would be cool if they had a cat customization thing at the beginning. Yeah. So you could customize the cat that you're playing as. I can make a cat look like Dr. Doom and play as Dr. Doom.
Yes, that'd more cat cool. options, please.
Yeah.
And definitely some online multiplayer. Sorry.
I already saw, like, a lot of people have been modding this game. And, like, someone did, like, a Garfield mod so you can play as Garfield. So, like...
Nice.
Whoever did that, can you just make me one for Dr. Doom? I'll, like, send you a picture.
careful what you ask for on the internet. That's all I say.
Do you have anything else?
No, that's it.
Yeah. My only last thing is, I felt like for $30, the game could have been a little bit longer. Because, like, I beat it in about 5 hours. So, I think it would probably take... That's probably about average. I don't think I was that slow.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't much longer than you. It took me about 7.5, I think, to get all the memories, too.
Yeah, so like 5 to 7-ish hours. I mean, I don't know. It's a good quality game, but it was just, I beat it so fast. Like,
yeah, I agree with you. It's a little on the short side, especially considering they're charging $30. It is new, though, and it is trendy, so I can't understand why they're charging that much.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe... like it'll go on sale. I think it would be worth $20.
Yeah, I think it will go on sale.
Not eventually. That, I don't know. And again, I'm just being nitpicky. Overall, I think this game is really good and I would definitely recommend anyone to play it.
All right, Nikki. So what kind of strategy stuff did you use?
So obviously with like almost any game like this, you're going to want to explore everything because being a cat... you're going to take paths that you wouldn't take as a human. So you need to look for like those air conditioning units and those pipes and those little awnings that you can jump up on. And like, there's always like multiple paths to get around. So I think just kind of like remembering that you're a cat and think, oh, what could a cat jump on and stuff when you're playing, like, is pretty helpful.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons I got so lost in like the slums was because there were so many paths up to the top that kind of all brought you to the same area.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, does this path, where like, does it lead somewhere like different, like an up apartment that I need to get into? And occasionally you will find something like that, but yeah, it is, there are multiple paths, especially when you get to some of the cities.
Yeah,
of course. I think the slums were the most confusing one, but one of my things is meet everybody, talk to everybody. The NPCs can give you important information, and remembering their names will make life easier down the line when you have to track someone down.
Yeah, and like show the robots the items that you have because that will entice them to give you more information than they would normally if you just go up and try to talk to them.
Yeah, and it really doesn't matter like who you're showing the item to because they all kind of have the same response to it if it's not the right person.
Mm-hmm.
But that response will be a clue. So yeah, at least find someone to show the objects to.
Yeah, and don't forget to show because I did. I was like, I didn't see that little option for like a second, so it took me a minute before I was showing the items to the robots.
Yeah, I didn't really think about it either until like a little bit down the line, and then I'm like, oh, I should. It's like, oh, they give me a clue. I need to start showing people
yeah, it's
everything.
Like, oh yeah, think, Nikki, think. Whenever you're in an area where there's a lot of Zerks, take a second and look around because a lot of times it's not just running through as fast as you can. It's a puzzle too. So you could like lead all the Zerks into one area and lock them up or, you know, stuff like that. So I found that like if you're looking ahead, a lot of times you could see the Zerks ahead of time because, you know, they're like glowy. So you could try to like look around at the environment a little bit and try to see like what the situation is before you just run full speed ahead.
Yeah, because once you're in there, they start chasing you and then it's really hard to figure out stuff while you're running away.
So, they chase you and then they jump on you and then they keep jumping on you and then you die.
Yeah, pretty much.
I guess they eat you or something. I don't know.
I think that's what's happening.
They creep me out.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like rat, worm, mole hybrids. Like a naked mole rat, worm rat. Yeah, I don't know.
That's a good description.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for all the memories and you're not consulting a guide like I was, first you can find out how many there are in the immediate area by going to your memories tab. And the ones that are grayed out are going to be the ones like in the immediate area that you can like find within that chapter, basically. And if you go and hover over the memories, they'll give you like kind of a scrambled picture that shows where it's at. And this isn't always helpful because sometimes it'll be like in a hidden room and you won't be able to see anything like that until you're in the hidden room.
Yeah.
But other times it can give you kind of a clue to where it's at.
Like context, like you're like, oh, that coloring looks familiar.
Yeah, exactly. So if it's something you might have missed or passed by, you might be able to decipher it from there. But don't try to just go by that, because like I said, sometimes they're in their own separate room where you're only going to see that like color palette or those items if you're in that specific room.
It's more about exploring and trying to find like hidden spaces and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And as always, have fun.
Yeah.
It's hard not to have fun when you're playing as a cat and you're just knocking crap over and like bugging people or bugging the little robots and like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's funny when they get mad at you.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you drop paint in, on their like sidewalk or something, they're just like, ah, oh, I gotta clean this up. And you're like, ha, doing cat things, being a cat.
Yeah, the best part is being able to knock stuff off the shelves or off the high ledges or whatever. All right, future.
Yeah, did you find anything? Is there a Stray 2 coming out?
I did find one thing.
Ooh.
So Stray is currently on Windows and PlayStation, but is only a PlayStation exclusive for a limited time. Eventually, the game should work its way over to other consoles, but it's not clear when that will be exactly.
Oh, okay.
So it's limited exclusive for PlayStation, but it's also on Windows.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's only for a limited time. So eventually,
so it's like not on Xbox or Nintendo.
Yeah, but
eventually it might be.
Yeah, and it's honestly, I can see this game going over to Xbox eventually, but Switch, I'm not sure if it's going to be underpowered or powered enough to be able to run Stray.
You think so?
Yeah, it might be an issue.
Huh. Stray doesn't seem that complicated.
I think they might have to tone down the graphics if they put it on Switch.
Oh, okay.
I think they could do it. It'd just be more of a project.
It's just like too, like the Switch isn't dynamic, isn't as dynamic with the lighting and stuff.
I mean, it's
on
just
on the screen.
It's just going to be way underpowered compared to like a PlayStation 5 or an Xbox X. Did you find anything?
I couldn't really find anything. I like saw a mention that PlayStation was going to donate some of the money towards shelters, but I don't know. I couldn't find anything solid as to like how much of the proceeds or any of that they were going to donate. So
okay.
I can't really speak to it that much.
Gotcha.
But as far as I could tell, you know, there's not a Stray movie coming out. The Stray Cat's not going to be added to Smash Bros. or anything like that. So, but I would be surprised if they didn't eventually do some kind of sequel just because it made so much money.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember when we talked about God of War, Stray did take over on Steam for the best rated game.
Best rated or best selling?
Best rated.
Oh, okay.
Game on Steam. It has more ratings and higher ratings than God of War.
Wow. That's surprising.
So it like really racked up.
Yeah.
I think it even had a lot of them before the game even came out. I think people were just like excited to have a cat game.
This game was very much hyped when it came out.
All right. So, Eric, did you find all of B12's memories?
I did. It actually wasn't as hard as I thought. Actually wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be, but like there weren't a ton of them, so if there had been a lot more of them, it would have been way harder, but it was thankfully, I think, only 30 total, something like that.
That's kind of a good bit.
25, 30, something like that. It's not a ton.
Considering the game's only like 5 to 8 hours long.
But it ended up being just like 2 to 7 or so per chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So it really wasn't too bad.
So I should have given you a harder challenge.
I don't know what a harder challenge
would
be.
Yeah, I don't even know what another challenge would
there's
be.
There's not really a difficulty. I feel like
unless it was like get a certain trophy or something.
Yeah, it would have had to have been like a trophy, like a challenge trophy or something that not a lot of people completed.
Whatever. Congratulations, I guess.
Oh, thank you. So, Nikki, are you excited to learn what the next game is going to be?
I don't know. I'm always scared. I'm always scared when you're picking.
You don't sound very
excited.
Because
you're crazy. I never know what you're going to pick.
Okay, well, I'll give you a hint. So we're actually going to touch on a genre that we haven't covered yet.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not a lot of genres.
I'm throwing you a curveball.
Unless we get into like those, you know, really niche genres.
We're definitely getting this.
What is the genre then?
We are doing a fan-made mod.
Oh, so it's not even a real game.
It is a real game.
I mean, like a legit game. I don't know. I thought mods were like fans did that.
Yeah, the mod is the thing the fan did, but it's mods a game that actually exists.
Okay. All right. Spill the tea.
Okay. So we're doing Doom, but we're not just doing Doom. We're doing Brutal Doom.
Uh-oh.
Which is a fan-made mod of the original 1993 Doom.
Okay. And why are we doing the mod instead of just playing the original Doom?
Because Brutal Doom is super cool and I want to talk about
says it. Eric. Okay.
So yeah, so Brutal Doom, it really doesn't make the game any harder, but it's more of like an enhancement for the original game. It adds like lighting effects, particles, adds dismemberment, makes enemies smarter, makes the weapons more balanced and like beefier.
That sounds like it changes the game a lot.
It adds new bosses. Yeah, it does change the game quite a bit, but you're still playing through like essentially what the same levels would be if you were playing the original Doom.
Okay, I see.
So yeah, I would call it.
So if you play this and you beat it, you could probably play the original Doom pretty easily and beat that.
Yeah, you could play either one or both. I actually would like to go back and kind of compare them. Because Brutal Doom is very different from the original Doom. I remember like in the original Doom, you couldn't look up and down and stuff. This one gives you the ability to look up and down and shoot where you want to. It makes it like full 3D and all that stuff.
So I have to play this on a computer?
Yes, you're playing it on a desktop.
Man.
You gotta do some PC gaming.
Okay, fine. But like, you know, I like having a controller. I'm spoiled.
You might be able to hook up.
I don't like clicking around and stuff.
You might be able to hook up a controller, although like the game plays really well.
No, I want to play authentically. I don't want to alter my experience too much.
This game plays really well with keyboard and mouse.
Okay, cool.
Okay, are you excited to hear what your challenge is going to be?
No. I don't know. You like to come up with hard challenges. Like, I give you challenges, and you're like, yeah, I did that, no problem, blah, blah, blah. And then you give me challenges, and it's like, oh, I guess I'm going to rap.
I don't think this one's too bad, but we'll see.
Okay.
Okay, you're going to be knee-deep in the dead on the difficulty Hurt Me Plenty.
What does that mean?
Yeah, so you're going to basically beat the game on normal difficulty.
Okay.
Or beat the first chapter of the game. I think the expansions come later after Knee Deep in the Dead.
Okay.
I'll give you added incentive to beat the challenge. If you beat the challenge, I will rap.
Ooh, okay. Nice. So either way, someone's rapping.
Yeah, so there will be a rap next episode.
This really ups the ante.
Yeah.
I want to make you rap. So I can smack talk.
There you go.
You know how much I love to smack talk.
You do oddly like to smack talk way too much.
I think it's because I grew up watching wrestling.
It's 100% it.
Yes. I blame Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan.
They were such a bad
The Rock.
Such a bad example for kids.
I know, man. Encouraging everyone to smack talk all the time.
All right. I think that does it for us.
That wraps it up.
All right. Bye.
Bye. And as always, if you liked our podcast episode today, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or rate us on Spotify. We'd also love to know if you played Stray and what your thoughts are about playing as a cat. let us know. Bye.